Today's scripture comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding... If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and that the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.
Moses has been tour guide, social director, and the captain of the ship for 40 years. 40 years Moses has tried to get the people, God's people, to the promised land. Along the way, things have happened. Some good, some pretty bad. But now the promised land is just over there. They can almost touch it. Moses, I'm sure, is very excited about being so close to the promised land. But as we know, Moses was not allowed to cross into the promised land. After all those years of entertaining, leading, encouraging, reprimanding, being totally frustrated with the people, and being totally in love with the people, Moses is not allowed to enter the promised land. Back in chapter 3 of Deuteronomy, Moses recounts a conversation he had with God. Moses says to God, "O Lord God, you have only begun to show your servant your greatness and your might. What God in heaven or on earth can perform deeds and mighty acts like yours? Let me cross over to see the good land beyond the Jordan, that good hill and the Lebanon." Moses always had a way with words when talking with God, didn't he? Well, we may think so, but God wasn't so hip on what Moses had to say. In response, God says, "Enough from you. Never speak to me on this matter again. Go up to the top of the mountain. Look around to the west, to the north, to the south, and to the east. Look well, for you shall not cross over the Jordan." Moses tells the people that the Lord was angry with him because the people, the Israelites, kept doubting God. Moses gets the blame for the behavior of thousands of Israelites. So we find ourselves in Deuteronomy, with Moses knowing that he's not going to the promised land. The people also know that Moses is not going into the promised land, and they are just a little bit worried. What will the people do? Moses is the one who knows everything. Moses knows where the key to the Ark of the Covenant is. Moses even knows how to put up the tent for the Ark of the Covenant. Moses knows which clan among the people is the best at preparing meals for everyone, and which clan is good at fixing anything that needs to be fixed. Moses knows everything. What are the people to do? In response, Moses begins to give them laws for which they are to live. In Deuteronomy, we find the Ten Commandments. We can probably recite all ten, but I wonder if we can recite all of the other commandments that follow them. There are many. Moses, in what we call chapter 11, tells the people that they are to keep the entire commandments that he gives them that day. But most of all, Moses wants the people to know that they should love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. And when we do that, then there are other laws by which we must live, such as don't eat the pig. It divides the hoof but does not chew the cud, therefore it's useless. We shall set apart three cities in the land that the Lord your God has given us. We must divide the land into three regions and assign a city which anyone who commits a homicide can flee and live. For example, suppose someone goes into the forest with another person to cut wood, and when one of them swings the axe to cut down the tree, the head slips off the handle and strikes the other person, who then dies. The killer may flee to one of the cities and live. If someone lies in wait, though, and attacks out of hatred, then that person cannot live in any of the safe cities. When you build a new house, you shall make a parapet for your roof. Otherwise, you might have blood guilt on your house if anyone should fall from your roof. You shall not charge interest on loans to the people in your community, to a foreigner your kin, but not to one of your own. These are just a few of the laws, commandments that we don't talk about. There are many in Deuteronomy. It is these laws, commandments, that Moses says we must keep so that we are blessed, or if we don't keep them, we will be cursed. If we are blessed, we will have food, children, and livestock aplenty. But if cursed, we will have no water, no food. Oh, we can plant a vineyard, but we won't get to enjoy its fruit. We can build a house, but we won't get to live in it. Our ox can be butchered right before our very eyes, but we won't get to eat it. Our sheep, sons, and daughters will be given to our enemies. In fact, according to Deuteronomy 28, verse 37, we will become an object of horror. What Moses says will happen to us after that verse, I cannot utter the words. Seriously, it is not good. Moses can, though, but then Moses knew how to do everything. And now the people have everything written down of how they are to live as a community, live as God's people. And with that, Moses has parting words that we find in chapters 29 and 30. His parting words are beautiful. Personally, I would have had a few more things to say to the group of people who for 40 years just didn't get it. They didn't get it so much that Moses doesn't even get to enter the promised land. Yeah, my words would not have been words filled with beauty. Moses has continually called the people to turn their hearts to God. He's laid out rules, commandments, laws, all in the hope that they might get the importance of a relationship with God, the one true God, the God with whom they are in covenant, not the pagan gods, not the idols made out of wood, stone, silver, and gold, the very real and present God. Even though they have turned away time and time again, Moses offers them grace. It appears that after years of wandering and feeling as if God is very distant, the people have lost hope. Enemies have won battles. Death has come their way. The land of milk and honey has not appeared in 40 years. Every day with its ups and downs and hardships have happened. Food was scarce. Water could be difficult to find. Members of our family and our close friends have died. Illness has filled our camps. The weight of living in such harsh conditions, the weight of living expecting a promise to be fulfilled and feeling like it's never going to happen, just the weight filled the Israelites with despair, and they were demoralized. And now the one who knows everything, the one who kept telling us things would get better, is no longer going to be with us. I can't help but think of the disciples as they follow Jesus, believing that he's the one, and then he says he's going to be crucified? Really? We left everything to follow you, and this isn't quite what we thought it would be. Moses has one last chance to remind the people of all the laws and commandments and rules of being God's people. As we know, as I've shared, there's a lot more than just those 10. And after he does that, he says, I stand here today along with all of you and with those who are not even here yet to make this covenant with God. When all the blessings and curses fall upon you, remember the Lord your God. When the world falls apart around you, remember the Lord your God. When you feel as if you cannot take one more step, remember the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. If you forget the Lord your God, you will perish. If you remember the Lord your God, even when there is nothing good surrounding you, you will have life. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live loving the Lord your God. Choose life. After 40 years, what does Moses want the people to know? Choose life. Remember God, love God with all your being, no matter what comes your way. Now, we have the pleasure of being able to see all the crazy choices God's people made as they wandered for 40 years. But are we really that much different? What happens when illness strikes? What happens when our home is destroyed? What happens when we have lived for years loving God and yet we still struggle for food, clothing, and shelter? What happens when death stares us in the face, whether it's our own or a loved one? What happens when catastrophe comes our way? What happens when everything we dreamed of is taken away, or it is lost, or it dies with the death of the love of your life? Or you realize that you are in no way going into the promised land? Last night, while I was working on the sermon, a member of Abel Christian Church called me, the church I served before here. Today, that congregation is celebrating, get this, 40 years in the present sanctuary. The congregation was formed in the 1800s, and they've had several sanctuaries, but the present one they've been in for 40 years. She called because the current pastor wants to use a story today in his sermon from when I was there as pastor, and she wanted to make sure she remembered the story correctly. The member, my friend, has a son that has had cerebral palsy and other health issues since birth. John is now in his 20s and confined to a wheelchair. My friend lifts him daily from the bed to the chair, from the chair to the car, from the car back into his wheelchair. She cares for him literally 24/7. She has an incredible husband, and they also have another wonderful son. Even though she is much, much younger than me, she's one of my role models. Their first Ash Wednesday at Azle Christian Church was 3 or 4 years ago, I can't remember. As people came forward to receive ashes, my friend brought her son, John, up in his wheelchair. I was a little overwhelmed because here is a woman who chooses life every day in the midst of what many of us would say is a daily wandering in the wilderness. I took a breath, placed the ashes on her forehead, and then I came to John. He usually sits with his head hanging down. He rarely speaks in complete sentences. In fact, I had only heard him say one word at a time. So I kneeled in front of him. I put the ashes on my thumb, and as I made a cross on his forehead, I said, "John, God loves you very much." John raised his head, and with the most beautiful smile I have ever seen, he asked, "With his whole heart?" I said, "Yes, John. God loves you with God's whole heart." John, the one who lives daily with illness and frustration and struggle and has every right to not have 1 ounce of hope, is the one who knew better than all of us gathered that night that remembering the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul reminds us that God loves us with every fiber of God's being. And Moses, Moses tells the people, "I'm not making it to the promised land. I put up with y'all for 40 years, and I'm not even getting the prize. Yet I choose life. I choose to believe in the goodness of God." The disciples that followed Jesus didn't have it so great either. The one they believed would change the world was crucified. They had days after that filled with doubt, and then they chose life. We all have bad days. We all wonder why bad things happen to good people, why bad things happen to us. We all feel at some time or another that life is treating us wrong. It is in those moments that Moses says, remember God. Remember to love God. Remember to choose life. Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love God with your heart, your mind, and your soul, and to love neighbor as self. This is the path to life. I wish Moses had been in the sanctuary on that Ash Wednesday. His farewell speech wouldn't have had to be 2 chapters long then. He could have said, when life gives you all that life has to offer, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, the sadness, the grief, the joy, and the laughter, remember that God loves you with God's whole heart. Remember to love God. Remember to live life following God. Remember to choose life. Amen.